Pinocchio. The Fairy's Promise. Pinocchio had settled down happily at the fairy's house on Visibee Island. But something was bothering him.
"I'm fed up with being a puppet," he suddenly said one day. "I want to become a real boy and grow up to be a man."
"Oh, that won't be so easy," replied the fairy. "Puppets never grow. But if you are very good, perhaps we can make an exception. If you deserve it. No more lies, mind, and no more lazing about round here. You will have to go to school and work hard."
"You mean I can become a real boy?" shouted Pinocchio, dancing with glee.
"If you work hard for a whole year and stop all your naughty habits, I promise that you will become a real boy. So off you go to school tomorrow." You can imagine what it was like when he first arrived. The other boys thought it was hilarious to have a puppet in their class, and they played all kinds of nasty tricks on him. But when they pulled Pinocchio's long nose, he set about them with his wooden feet and wooden fists until they learned to show some respect. Within a few weeks, he was friends with almost everyone. But there was one thing the others still held against him. He was already top of the class. So one fine day, some of them stopped Pinocchio on his way to school and told him that a huge whale had been seen near the coast.
"We are going to sneak off school and see for ourselves. Why don't you come along too?"
Pinocchio wanted to wait until after school, but the boys all laughed at him.
"The whale won't wait all day for you."
So, once again, poor Pinocchio was led astray. But it was not long before he realized he had been completely fooled. There was no whale to be seen, and the sea was as smooth as a mirror.
"He must have gone off for his breakfast," jeered one of the boys.
"Or perhaps he's having a nap," laughed another.
Pinocchio was furious, and the more the boys laughed at him, the angrier he got. Before you knew it, a great fight had broken out, and school books and satchels were being thrown in all directions. In all the confusion, one of the boys was struck on the forehead by a flying book and sank to the ground, as white as a sheet. At this dreadful sight, the other boys ran off as fast as they could, leaving Pinocchio alone with their fallen friend. The puppet was still there, bathing the boy's head with a handkerchief soaked in seawater, when two policemen appeared behind him with a dog.
"You'd better come along with us. This boy is badly hurt. You're under arrest."
And summoning an old man from a nearby cottage to care for the injured boy, they dragged Pinocchio back along the road towards town. The little puppet was absolutely terrified. His legs trembled, and his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth so that he could not speak, even to tell them he had not thrown the book. But just as he thought he would die of fright, a gust of wind blew his cap back towards the beach. The policeman let him run after it, and Pinocchio seized his chance to escape. This only made matters worse. The policemen unleashed their prize bulldog, a huge and savage beast called Alidoro. Soon Pinocchio could hear it panting close behind him. Then he could feel the dog's hot breath on the back of his legs. Now he was almost at the cliff edge, and with a last desperate leap, he flung himself into the waves and swam out. Alidoro tried hard to stop, digging his paws into the ground, but his speed carried him deep into the water. The poor dog could not swim. He struggled to keep afloat, but it was no good. As he came to the surface for the third time, his eyes were rolling with terror and he barked piteously.
"Help me, Pinocchio! Save me from drowning!"
When he heard this feeble cry, Pinocchio's heart melted. He swam quickly back to drag the dog ashore, then dived into the waves once more and swam off. The grateful words of the bulldog followed him.
"Goodbye, Pinocchio! You saved my life!"
The puppet swam on round the coast looking for a safe place to come ashore. At last, reaching a rocky headland, Pinocchio saw a plume of smoke rising from a dark cave. He swam close to take a better look and was just about to climb ashore when suddenly he felt himself being hoisted clean out of the water. He'd been caught in a fishing net and was trapped in a shoal of wriggling fish. At that very moment, a gigantic fisherman emerged from the cave. He was as ugly as a sea monster, and scaly all over. His head was covered with a thatch of seaweed, his scaly body was green, his bulging eyes were green, and his beard was long and slimy.
"So, another good catch today,"
he growled, hauling in the net. And he stamped back into the cave where a huge frying pan was sizzling over the log fire.
"Now then, what have we got here? This mullet looks good."
And one by one he seized the fish, dabbed them in the flour, and tossed them into the pan.
"Oh, these sardines look delicious, and what beautiful whiting. But what's this? This is a new one."
And he plucked poor Pinocchio out of the net, all dripping wet and shaking with fear.
"I'm not a fish. I'm a puppet. Please let me go. I won't taste very nice."
"Let you go? You must be joking. Do you think I'd miss the chance of tasting such a rare fish? I've never caught a puppet before."
He rolled Pinocchio slowly in the flour, well seasoned with salt and pepper, and held him over the pan. Just then, there was a great growl, and in rushed Alidoro, drawn to the cave by the wonderful smell of cooking.
"Get out!"
shouted the fisherman, trying to kick the dog.
"Save me, Alidoro," cried Pinocchio, struggling pathetically in the giant's hand.
The faithful hound leapt into the air, snatched the flowery puppet from the giant's grasp, and bolted out of the cave. Alidoro carried Pinocchio back to the beach where their adventure had started.
"There," he said. "You saved me first. Now I've saved you. In this world, we must all help each other."
And Alidoro licked the puppet warmly before heading off again in search of his masters. It was late in the day now, and Pinocchio was eager to get home. The road to the village took him past an old man's cottage, where he was told that the injured boy had recovered and that the police were no longer searching for him. It was a great relief, but the puppet was still worried about owning up to the fairy.
"What on earth will she say?" he fretted. "I'm sure she will never forgive me, and it serves me right. I always promise to be good, but I never keep my word. I'll never become a real boy."
By the time Pinocchio reached the fairy's house, night had fallen, and he was cold and tired and very hungry. But when he knocked on the door, there was silence. Had the fairy left him again? He waited and waited. At last, after half an hour, a window opened at the top of the house, and a big snail looked out with a lighted lamp balanced on her head.
"Who's there at this time of night?" she asked.
"It's me, Pinocchio. Is the fairy home?"
"The fairy is asleep and must not be woken. But I will come down and let you in."
An hour passed, and then two, but still the door did not open. Pinocchio was freezing cold, so he knocked again. This time, a window on the third floor opened. The snail looked out again.
"My dear boy, there's no use knocking like that. I'm a snail, and snails never hurry."
And she pulled the window shut. Shortly afterwards, midnight struck, then 1 o'clock, and then 2. And the door was still closed. Poor Pinocchio. There was nothing he could do but wait. He stood there by the door all night, until at dawn, the door finally opened. The snail had taken 9 hours to come all the way downstairs.
"You cannot come in yet," she said. "The fairy is still asleep."
"Then at least bring me something to eat," pleaded the puppet. "I'm starving."
"At once,"
said the snail. And she returned 2 hours later with bread, roast chicken, and fruit, all on a silver tray. Pinocchio tore hungrily at the food, but to his horror, he found that none of it was real. It was all made of cardboard. Exhausted by all his dreadful ordeals, he fainted. When he came to, he was lying on a sofa inside the house, with the fairy beside him. She was not angry, but she gave Pinocchio a solemn warning. You know you've done wrong. I will pardon you once more. But woe betide you if you behave badly a third time. Pinocchio promised again and again to change his ways forever. And this time he meant it. He never wanted to go through a day and night like that again. He had learned his lesson, and he kept his word perfectly for one whole year. The following summer he won the prize for the best student at the school, and his behavior was so good that the fairy was delighted. When he came home from school, she said, "Your wish shall be granted. You shall be a wooden puppet no longer. Tomorrow night, you will become a real boy." In bed that night, Pinocchio could hardly sleep, he was so excited. Only one more day. If only he could be good for just one more day.